Well, brothers and sisters, good to be back again. And thank the Lord for His goodness to us and all His mercy and grace. There's so much to thank Him for. Could we go to the Epistle of the Philippians, please? And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 19. Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons, and grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, for you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my bonds and in defence on confirmation of the gospel. Ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, and how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offence to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxen confident by my bonds, and as much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of good will. The one which preach Christ of contention, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I in therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice, for I know this. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless the reading of His precious word. I've enjoyed reading in Philippi, and it's a challenge to us all. See, the Philippians believers, as we find in the first few chapters, had sent a love offering to Paul, and in the letter Paul wrote to express his thanks. And why did they do that? Is it because He loved her. Just as simple as that. He loved her. And so, as we've been reading that, the theme of the letter is Jesus Christ. Because God is love. And Jesus Christ died for us and gave his life for us out of that love at Calvary for each and every one of us. So the theme is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pattern in chapter 1, because it's the gospel message, it's the ministry of the gospel. In chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is the model. Chapter 3 is the motive. And in chapter 4 is the means. It is mentioned in chapter 1, the gospel was mentioned 6 times in that chapter. Also, Jesus Christ, or Jesus, is mentioned 18 times in chapter 1. In chapter 2, is mentioned 9 times. Chapter 3 is mentioned 9 times. And in chapter 4 is mentioned 6 times. All in 42 times in 4 chapters. In chapter 1, verse 1, in Jesus Christ, out of Adam and into Christ. Paul, Timothy, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi, and the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. 1 minute we're sinners, condemned and unclean. In Adam, we had sin. Now, out of Adam, we're in Christ. We have a new birth. John 3 tells us that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, in any man, in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So the following epistle is about the Lord. But it's also about Paul, and about to some of the events that's happened in his life. So we know that Paul was blinded when the Lord met him on Damascus Road, the great light. When his eyes was open, he'd only eyes for Christ. He'd only eyes for the Lord. Just like a love story, he'd only eyes for the Lord. So we find in Ephesians, Paul gives us the riches of Christ. In Philippians, he gives us the person of Christ. He also gives us in Ephesians the blessings of Christ. And in Philippians, the blesser. In Philippians chapter 17 and 18, I'll be jumping about, I know I'll be going in the rotation of the scripture, I've been jumping about. The way I brought this, it's been given to me. Paul was a prisoner, not of Rome, but of Jesus Christ. And his chains were in Christ. Because you find verse 13, he says this, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all
the palace. That was the palace in Rome. And all other places.
He was preaching the gospel even when he was in jail to all those that was the servants that were in the palaces. And when we look at Romans 8 and 28, it tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are called to his purpose. So the question is, and I think I mentioned this to Sam the other day, the question is, do we think first of Jesus Christ and our circumstances, or who do we think of? Paul never thought of anything but the Lord himself. He was totally and utterly eyes fixed and body fixed in Christ. Yet despite all Paul's difficulties, Paul rejoiced, because he said in chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice, I say, rejoice in the Lord. So no matter what the circumstances are, and sometimes it's hard, because there's things that happen to us all in different ways and different times. He's telling us, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. He says, the joy of the Lord is the strength of Christian service. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want you to come with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Book of Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah is just after Ezra. Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to read verse 10 before I start anywhere else. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The gather of the people, we're going to read chapter 8 now. Verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man. I thought that was amazing. As one man. The garden was as one man. In the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein the street there was before the water gate from the morning until the midday, before the men and women, and that those that could understand and hear, and the ears of the people, all the people, were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood up upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made in the purpose of, beside him stood Mattiah and Shammah and Ananiah and Uriah and Iachiah and Manasseh on the right hand, and on the left hand with Peradiah, Mishael, and Malah,
Kaya and Hashem and Ashabadana and Zechariah and Meshumelah. And Esau opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people.
Just that I'm up here and yous are down there.
And when he opened it, all the people
stood up.
I come back down to verse 8. And so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave sense and caused them to understand the reading.
And Nehemiah was in Tasathah, Ezra, the priest, and the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, and said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept with their hearts. And all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord, the law. In verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they understood the words that were declared unto him.
First of all, they honoured the word.
They honoured God's word.
And how did they honour God's word?
They stood up when it was open. What have we got today? There's no honour for this book. There's no honour for the word of God.
The book was open, and they honoured it as it was open and read. They stood up. They listened when it was read, seeking to understand it when it was explained. And they rejoiced at the understanding of the word.
And what did they do in verse 12?
And they obeyed the word. They honoured it by standing up when it was open. They listened when it was read. They were seeking to understand when it was explained, and they rejoiced at the understanding of it, obeying the word.
We had a brother here a couple of weeks back, Thomas, and he said something that I never forgot. He was talking about all the planets and what Earth was, how it was viewed. It's only viewed a wee thought thing, but it was created by God. And he said something about God created morals. He's a God of morals. And this book is on morals. There's no morals today.
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 26, it says this: Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Honour thy father and mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness
against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's goods.
The first four commandments are towards God. What do they do with thou shalt have no other God before me? Thou shalt not make unto ye any graven images. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Remember the Lord's day. Keep it holy. They're all towards God. But the rest are all towards mankind. Honour thy father and the mother. There's no much honour between people, young people today, their mothers and fathers. Thou shalt not kill.
Read the papers. Put on the television.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not cover. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbour's goods. Six of the rest of the commands is towards mankind.
Yes. We have a moral God. He's a holy God. He hates sin. And that's why he sent his Son into the world.
Our morals have gone out the door, have disappeared. See, governments have changed God's law over the generations. And we wonder why we're living in a world today which has no morals. Gone.
No respect for the book.
No listening to the book. No trying to seek to understand the book. No rejoicing in the book. No obeying the book.
There's judgment coming to this world. And all of the born again Christians really understand it. That there's a judgment coming. So Paul was thanking those at Philippi for the love that they showed him and the gifts of love that he gave them. He thanks them especially for their fellowship. He thanks them for their fellowship in verse 5, I think it is. Yeah. Verse 3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day
until now.
Can we go back to the first day remember the sense that was we had fellowship with at the beginning. From the first day until now, the people that we met some lovely, lovely Christian men and women, had some great times in this book. But sadly, you know, I have to say this, we had some tiring times. Because we're all different, and we're different characters. There's some man, and there's some woman you couldn't like. But Paul knows about them, as we've already read. He had his enemies. Those that preach false doctrines. So he said to them, thank you. Thank you. For your fellowship. From then until now. Because we know it was Paul was in Acts 16, you can read it from 12 to 40, that he went to Philippi, and it was there he was mainly responsible for that church. We find Lydia was there and opened in her home to him, and her home became a place of worship in 1640. We find the Philippine jailer. Things that they remembered. Things that you and I remember from when we were first saved and were on the road. How we enjoyed it so much. And some things we didn't enjoy. And we find in Philippians verses 15 and 16, Paul tells us, he says, some preach out of envy, out of strife, out of contention, self-ambition. Some were sharing the gospel with a proper motive, and others for the wrong. And George Martha Henley, he says this, Paul suffered from false friends as well as from enemies. In verse 18, he says, it is God's prerogative to judge of the principles of men and act upon. This is out of our jurisdiction or our line. Paul was far from envying those who had liberty to preach the gospel, that he rejoiced in the preaching of it, even by those who do it in pretense and not in truth. And when you read that and think about it, sometimes that happens. But it didn't matter with him. He loved it, the gospel, more than anything. But in verse 19, it tells us that God can bring good out of evil. So, why would there be a reward? How could anybody have a reward that expected to preach out of strife and envy and envy and contention? Surely the greatest desire of every true born again Christian is that the Lord Jesus Christ may be magnified and glorified. That's our main aim. You know, in times we fail badly in it. I'd like you to come along with me to Proverbs chapter 6, please. The book of Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, and a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that is devised wicked imaginations, the feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. False witnesses, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. You know, sadly, in our assemblies today, there's an awful lot of that going about. And it's clear from the last two items in the list that God is describing what he hates. The word hate, Nelson, says that the word hate should be taken in an absolute sense. It should be taken in an absolute sense, however, because it means to reject from one's fellowship. There are the kinds of people who God rejects. And Proverbs 2 and 11 tells us this: discretion shall preserve you, and understanding shall keep you. Philippians, I think everybody should read Philippians and the church at Philippi. There's a sister came in the door this morning and she says to me, "Where two or three gather my name, there am I in the midst of them." At the bottom, in the footnotes of my Bible, it says this: the church's local summary, a local church is an assembly of professed believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, living for the most part in one locality, who assembles themselves together in his name for the breaking of bread, worship, praise, prayer, testimony, and the ministry of the word. and discipline and the firmth of the gospel. That's what Paul was trying to get over here. Look at the words Paul and Timothy, a servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops there, the deacons, and the elders. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer. They're always in his prayer. And that tells us that's what we should be praying more in our times. Always in prayer of mine for all your making requests with joy, for the fellowship and the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of one thing, this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, unto the rapture, until he takes us home. Brothers and sisters, this morning, we have a lot to thank the Lord for what he's done for us. He saved us. He's kept us. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Him that cometh to me on no wise cast out. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They heard the word, they believed it, they obeyed it. You heard the word of God this morning. If you're looking at it and you're not saved, why? Is this the first time you've heard it? You have an opportunity. Many other times have you heard it and you have rejected it. But whosoever call, all you have to do is call. All you have to do is come. For the Lord Jesus Christ died for you upon a cross and shed his precious blood. What's the matter with you? Paul said he enjoyed the saints' fellowship. We've all had fellowship over the years that we've had. Some of us over 30 years saved by the grace of God. Knew nothing about salvation. We've enjoyed it. But it hasn't been easy. How could it be easy when they crucified my Lord because he was preaching the gospel? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What's the matter with you? Brother Sam is going to preach the gospel tonight. That's what we're told to do. Go into the world and preach the gospel. That's what we're doing. So that you cannot turn around and say you never heard it. Because you'll stand, if you're not saved, you'll stand at the great white throne and you'll say nothing. Friend, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You get an opportunity now. This morning, to come to him. You've heard the rest of the word, what men do and men don't do. But men, all men will be judged whether they're saved or unsaved. But the saints will not be judged for their sins. No. We want to be judged for our service. But friend, if you're not saved, you'll be judged for your sins. And there's only one place that you'll be going. The place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you're saved this morning and you listen to this, let us remember Paul, who suffered many, many things, maybe more things than any of us would ever suffer in a lifetime. He said, rejoice. I say, rejoice in the Lord. The book was open and they stood up. They listened. And they learned. And they obeyed. How often have you heard it? But you never listened. You never obeyed it. How often is a Christian been told to do different things and we've failed miserably? No, it's not easy. We think we have a God and we have an advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. So friend, you're getting an opportunity. Don't neglect it. And brethren and sisters this morning, if you're listening in, maybe you would heed some of the things that we've already read this morning. In Christ. Paul was in Christ. We're in Christ this morning. We are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're born again. God loved us and gave his Son for us. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this morning. Father, we give you thanks and we praise you again for our time. We pray it be a challenge to all our souls, Father, but we will only be hearers of the word. Help us to be doers of it. In these times, we give you thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen.